Well, have you ever been in a situation in life where you just felt like everything was out of control? That there was nothing you could do about your situation and you need a miracle. You need a divine, a direct intervention from the Lord. Well, if you haven't, you will. There are times in our lives when we need a miracle. We need God to show up. Amen. In a very miraculous way, and to intervene in a situation that we have no power over, no control. We can't change anything. It would have to be God. And you know, those times are not bad, because those times often will cause us to go deeper into the Lord. And you know, we're never disappointed when we do that. We're never disappointed when we seek the Lord. You know, I know life can be very disappointing when I'm not right with the Lord. Amen. But I've never been disappointed when I've decided to seek the Lord, amen, to pray and to call on Him. And when I'm walking with Him, life is good. As we say, God is good, and life is good in the God zone. But you got to stay in the zone, guys. That's where your peace comes from, amen. The Lord is your peace. But there's other times, you know, when we're going to need each other. God has called us to each other, amen. We need brothers and sisters, family. We need somebody to step up to help us, you know. When you're sick, sometimes, you know, you can be so weak that you need somebody else to minister to you. Amen. So don't ever hesitate to call if you're ever in a situation like that. Okay. Where you feel like you don't have anybody to call on, call us. All right. And I'm sure I can find somebody to help you. I'm just kidding. We will be there for you. Okay. We'll make sure that we get you the help that you need. All right. God is answering prayers. Amen. We've had several things recently that have happened. And in fact, Samantha, you're one of them. You know, you kind of scared us. She was in the emergency room and God has intervened and God has restored you. And it happened when we got the request. Javier came up here. It was on a Friday night during the prayer meeting. And he told us about it. So we were already here. We just went to prayer. We stormed heaven and, you know, it's amazing. A lot of times God is actually healing people, and then they get there, they don't find anything wrong. You know, it's because God actually healed that person. It's not because there wasn't anything there. It's because God had healed. And when you got there, the evidence showed there was nothing there because God already took care of it. So don't ever get weary in well-doing, all right? And in praying and believing, and because God can do anything. And sometimes the Lord intervenes at the last minute, but he'll still intervene, amen? In the process of enduring things, in the process of waiting on the Lord, often what happens is we change. We change in that process. Some things won't change, but we will change as a result of certain things that happen in our lives. God knows what He's doing. He's getting us ready for eternity. So all the things that we encounter, we experience in life, actually are good for us, that God can work that together for good. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says, Romans 8:28? And causes all things to work together for the good, right? To them that love the Lord. But there are times, guys, when prayer is not the thing to do. Now, I know that can make people right away say, oh, but that's the statement that gets your attention, see. Sometimes prayer is not the thing to do. There is a time to pray, and there is a time to act. Amen? Faith without works is dead. So we have to pray, we have to ask. And the same thing when you go to pray for somebody. I always call on the Lord. I pray, Father, please touch this person. Reach out your hand and touch this person. And then as an act of faith in His name, and instead, right, in place of the Lord, as He's called us to represent Him, then we lay hands and we speak to sickness and disease and demons, amen, and command them in Jesus' name. So you first call on the Lord, amen. Remember, Jesus first called upon the Father, right? And He said, Father, when He was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. Yeah. And He was praying before the Father on behalf of those who were standing around and listening. He says, I know, Father, You always hear me. But for the sake of those who are around or listening, I said that. So He calls Him the Father, and then He takes a step of faith and authority, and He commanded Lazarus to come forth. So there has to be an engagement of faith. Amen. It's more than just asking God to do for us, because God often is giving you the ability to do something in His name that He's requiring of you to act upon. And it's not always about what God does. God does the work, but God works through human beings. Amen. He works through us to accomplish his purposes in the earth. Amen. Last week, talked about the sovereignty of God and is God in control? And the answer is yes and no, because God was not in control of people that go around hurting and abusing and taking advantage of others. Okay, that's not God being in control of that. That's a man or a woman taking, you know, matters in their own hands and using their will, amen, in an evil way. That's not God's fault. That's man's fault. Amen. But God will be in control of us to the degree that we're willing to yield ourselves to him and allow him to be Lord. That's why we must choose this day who we will serve. It's a choice that we make. It's a consensual relationship. It's a voluntary cooperative fellowship here we have, all right? That was an Assembly of God term. Some of you might have recognized it. Voluntary cooperative fellowship. But that's really what it's about. We choose to serve the Lord. We choose to obey the Lord. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. So there's times to pray, a time to act. What's this question? We need to ask this question. Are we just going to sit here and continue to allow the devil to destroy our nation, our families, our children, our own lives? Or are we going to do something about it? So that's the question. Are we just going to sit here and allow the devil to have it all? Or are we going to do something about it? And do we have the authorization in Jesus' name to do something about it? Can we make a difference? Can we affect change in the earth as God's representatives, as his people? Absolutely, right? So the choice has to be ours, that we decide to cooperate and partner with the Lord and what he's telling us to do. So there's a time to pray, but there's a time to take action. And I'm thankful that across this nation, families and parents are going to school boards. Amen. And they're confronting them and all the garbage that they're trying to teach our kids. That needs to happen. Amen. We need to be involved. Because God wants to turn America around. But if we are passive as God's people, how many know that in a war you can't be passive? Amen. We are in a war and we have to be on the aggressive. We have to be on the offensive, not just like you said last Sunday night, the defensive, but we also need to be on the offensive. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has authorized us to go in his name. Amen. And to enforce what he's already accomplished for us at the cross. His power is available to us to destroy the works of the devil. But the enemy is banking on and hoping that God's people will remain passive and not get involved, not be prayerful. Amen. See, the enemy tells a lot of people that you don't really need to pray that much. You don't really need to, you know, to be involved or be engaged because somebody else is doing it. Somebody else will do it. Now, you don't need to even go to church this morning because somebody else will be there. And 100 people heard that voice and said, yeah, I don't need to be there. They won't miss me. So 100 people are missing. You know how he works. We're not ignorant of his devices, right? He does not like people gathering. He does not like people in church. I know there's a lot of sick folks this morning and we don't fault them for that. We understand. Amen. We pray for them. Pray that God will save and heal them and bring them through this. Amen. Because we care. But there's a lot of people that make excuses. And as the old song says, how many heard the song Excuses? Now the devil, he'll provide them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks from going to church, he offers them excuses. Mm-hmm. How many believe that God has ordained the local church? Amen. And that God's people should be gathering. Amen. It's very important, guys. Don't get off on this trip that some people are because they had a bitter experience or a situation happened or because of some people's abuses. They want to just whitewash the whole thing, or what broad brush should I say, the whole thing, and say, oh, the local churches are all crooked. They all want your money. They're just, you know. And the enemy just loves that when Christians do his work for them. Keep people away from fellowship. You know, for some people, guys, this is a lifeline. This is vital for them, amen? Even for their spiritual survival. I've praise God, I don't like to miss church. Even if I'm not in the pulpit, amen? Even if I'm not, if I'm on vacation, I just look for an opportunity to find another church, you know what I'm saying? Right, to visit and see what's going on there. Sometimes I'm pleased, sometimes I'm disappointed. But at least, you know, I want to be in church. I want to be with God's people. And guys, instead of just criticizing what's not right and what's wrong about things, why don't you be a world changer? Why don't you be an influence, amen, for good? Why don't you find out what needs to be fixed or what needs help, amen, and plant yourself there. Be an influence there. Instead of just, it's easy to find fault. Amen. Every morning I can look in the mirror and find fault. I get better looking every day, but other than that, you know. But we can find fault easy enough if you're looking for faults. What we need to do is say, Lord, how can I be a vessel for you? How can I make a difference? How can I help build the body of Christ? Where can I serve? Are you hearing me? Instead of just going around looking for what's wrong, because it's easy to find things, guys. But, you know, some people, I've said this before, I had friends that were on special ops, you know, church special operations. And they go into churches that were like really lukewarm or very liberal. Amen. And God has assigned them to those places to go in there and be salt and to be light, to be influence. Amen. We need to be where God told us to be, because where God tells us to be is where He will be. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Moses argued with God, you know, when he was called. He said he was unqualified and unable to speak adequately. So God was not pleased with his answer, was he? Because if God calls you and I to do something, it's not going to be based upon our own evaluation of ourselves or our own ability. It will be based upon God's grace. Because he wouldn't tell you to do something that he's not going to supply the grace for you to do. And often what God calls you to do is beyond what you can do naturally. So that you rely upon his ability, his power, to accomplish the mission of God. And people will know it has to be God working through you. Because naturally, they're not like that. God takes shy people, amen, and makes them spokesmen. Spokespeople. Spokespersons. We have to be politically correct here, brother. Not. Anyways, Moses said to the Lord, Exodus 4:10, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." That's all we need to know, guys. If God says go, he's going to be with us. He's going to give us what we need in that hour. I know there's been times where you're just, if you had any hair, you'd be pulling it out and you'd be stressed out and all worried about, well, am I going to botch it? Am I going to make a mistake? I'm not going to know what to say. And God says, stop it. I will be with you. That's all you need to know. And in your obedience, I will manifest myself. I'll reveal myself. I will grant you the grace you need to do what I've called you to do. So people will know that I am with you. And that it's me doing the work. So God rebuked Moses for his unbelief. Because Moses was evaluating himself and looking at his natural limitations. But what we're called to do requires God's power. Amen. And that's why true ministry has to flow from the heart of God. It has to flow from the Holy Spirit. Because you and I, apart from God, can accomplish nothing. Amen. So we need to rely upon the ability that God supplies us. We need to be people of His presence, relying upon the Holy Spirit, the teacher that God has given to each one of us. He will give you what you need to say in that hour. So Moses was instructed to quit crying out to God. If you look in chapter 14 of Exodus, Moses was complaining before the Lord because of the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." There's a time to pray, and then there's a time to move. And God was saying, "Moses, enough of that. Okay, I've heard you. What I want you to do is obey me now. I want you to step out. And when you do, I will be with you." And that's what Jesus said, isn't it? In John 15:5, we can't do anything without him. God has called us to partner with him. He doesn't force this. But God has a mission for you. That's why Jesus said we need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. We need to press into God. We need to discover who we are in him and who he is in us, what God has called us to do. And I find that when I seek the Lord will begin to work in me. He will start to motivate me by his love to do certain things. I'll have a desire to do certain things for him, and I'll have the confidence to do those things for him, because God will provide the grace and the faith for me to accomplish his will. But it doesn't come by me just trying to live like God. I have to walk with God. I have to be close to God, and God will empower me by his Spirit, enable me to do his will. Hallelujah. And so if we are self-confident, we can't be confident in the Lord. And if we're presenting us to people, well, we're not able to really change anybody. Amen. If all people are getting is us, because some people just like to be seen, you know, they like to be noticed. Some people get into ministry because they have an esteem problem. How many know the Bible doesn't talk about self-esteem? It talks about self-denial. Amen. And he's not saying that you think less about yourself. He says, don't be so full of yourself. Don't be thinking so much about yourself. Think about the Lord, his kingdom, his people, and the purpose of God for your life. Never love your life more than the purpose that God gave it to you for. So take my yoke upon you, he said. He didn't see sit in the cart while he does all the pulling. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn, right? From me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because, guys, we're sitting in the cart and saying, okay, God, any day now, let's get her done, you know? And God says, no, you're not going to get it done sitting in the cart. Amen? Now, we need to yoke up with the Lord. We need to connect with the Lord. And when we're connected with Jesus, we will have the power. We will have the wisdom. We will have the ability to do what he's called us to do. We are to walk together with the Lord. And guys, I like to just say this because it has to do with perspective. But don't ever consider ministry as working for God. I know I hear that sometimes, working for God. No, it's working with God, amen, in a partnership. And God allows us to do this. We get to do this. You get to do this. You get to be his expression, amen, his representatives in this world. And he gives you his Holy Spirit. He gives you everything you have need of that pertains to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, when we discover what is available to us and we receive from the Lord, amen, his power, his ability, then we have a confident assurance that comes from him. It's a supernatural faith that will come on your life. And you'll have confidence to do what you naturally would never choose to do. God will motivate your heart. God will make his will your desire. But you got to draw near and you got to draw from him. Hallelujah. I say it a lot, but we live in a microwave society. We want instant and we want quick. But we need to wait on the Lord. Amen. Until we are endued with power from on high, until we have received our instructions. Sometimes, guys, the only thing that we can do is sit in the cart and pray. Amen. But there's other times when God says it's time to get up, amen, and link up with me because we're going somewhere. I have a mission for you. And if we want to see change in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our nation, it's going to require God's people linking up with Jesus and doing the work that God has called us to do. There's a time to pray, but there's a time of action, amen. There's a time to be silent and a time for us to speak up and let them know, amen, that we're not bowing down to their gods. We're not bowing down to the spirit of Baal. And we're not going to allow Baal to rule over our children. We're not going to allow them to have them. Sometimes people blame God for not doing for them what He enabled them to do for themselves. Well, it's all God. No, it's not all God. It's you and God. Hear it. Honor to whom honor is due. If you're doing an honorable thing for the Lord, you should be recognized for that. How many know that's true? You want to encourage your brothers and sisters, amen? If they're doing the right thing. Hallelujah. But sometimes people blame God for not doing for them what they could do for themselves by His grace. You know, it's this theology of helplessness. I can do nothing. Well, God has already, you were born with ability. Come on, somebody. That was God given. That was the gifts of the Father, amen? Your motivations. And then there are the gifts of the Son, the fivefold ministries, amen? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then there are the manifestation, the gifts of the Spirit, amen? Manifestations of God's presence. And so we have received of the Lord what we need to do His will in this world. But God is waiting for us to move when He says to move. To get out of the cart, amen, and link up with Him, and let's pull this thing together. Let's do life together with Jesus, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that really is referring to when you say all things, it doesn't mean all things that you want. Because some people run with that. Oh, I can do all things. Well, did God call you to do all things? No. He called you to do some things, amen, and you need to discover what His will is, and then He will give you the grace to do His will. God's called me to be a billionaire. I can do all things, you know. No, you just need to say, Lord, what is Your will? If we pray and ask anything according to His will, He hears us, okay. Now, what did Jesus come to do? He came to deliver us from tyranny, from oppression. He came to release captives. He came to bring freedom to us. Amen? And to bring the power of His Spirit to fulfill our God-given destiny. Obeying the Great Commission. I remember when I was going for my credentials and I was waiting in the lobby and they were calling them in before the panel to be grilled. They were actually pretty cool. But, you know, we're all out there saying, oh, God, you know. But we get in there and we're before the panel and they start questioning. And so one of the common questions they ask is, what makes you believe that you've been called to ministry? You know, and one brother had a great answer. He says, what part of Matthew 28 don't you understand? I know that was simplistic, but it's like we're all called. Amen. We're all called to partner with Jesus in the Great Commission. Not everybody's called to be a pastor or an evangelist, right? But we are all called to be witnesses. We are all ambassadors of the Lord, representing Him. So, Jesus sent out 70 witnesses, remember? In Luke chapter 10, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. And He gave them authority, all right, in His name, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, guys, this is a thing. It just doesn't happen automatically. these things that God has called us to do will only happen if we cooperate with God, obey His voice, and step out in faith and begin to exercise our faith. For example, laying hands on the sick. Amen? Well, you got to start somewhere. How about practicing? How about looking for opportunities when you run into people, amen, to pray for them? Somebody in the grocery line, whatever, you see somebody hurting or something, there's an opportunity. Pray and let God direct you in that. But God wants to manifest Himself, but He's going to do it through you and through me. Because He calls us to partner with Him to accomplish His purposes. And God will be in control of our lives to the degree that we want Him to be. And I've always found that it's good when God is in control. If I'm allowing God to be in control of my life, it's good. And so it's not about just, God, take care of it. God, take care of it. God says, you go my name and I'll take care of it through you. Because I've given you the authorization in the earth realm to represent me as an ambassador. And so wherever I am, that's where you're going to be. Amen. If I tell you to be someplace, I'm going to meet you there. There's been times when God has said this before, but He's called me to go to places that I didn't really feel comfortable about going to. But I knew He was telling me to go. You been there? Or to speak to somebody. And I feel that pressing and, oh, man. But then you say, okay, I'm going to obey. And you step out and you do what God tells you to do. And guess what? The Lord says, I've been waiting for you. He was right there, amen, the power, the ability, the wisdom, whatever you had need of, He supplied because you were obedient to Him. Where I am, there my servant will be also. So it's not about God doing everything, all right? God take care of the giant. David had to confront the giant, amen, in the authority that God gave him because he put his faith in the name of his God. And so there's giants in your lives that are going to stand between you and your destiny and what God wants for you. You didn't just sit there and passively hope they go away. Or just say, Lord, get rid of the giant. God says, I've authorized you in my name. I've given you the power of my spirit, amen, and the authority in my name to take control of the situation and tell that devil to go. Guys, you don't need to call a pastor to come to your house if things go bump in the night. God's given you authorization in His name to deal with those things. Amen. If you got something going on in your house that's not right, you're the priest of that household. Amen. And you represent the Lord there. And that house belongs to the Lord. And you claim it for Jesus. And you just tell those devils to get out in Jesus' name and do not return. Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need some help, you need some backup, you need some support, I'm here for you guys. But a lot of times, we're relying on somebody else that God's telling you to take care of the matter. Amen? What did Jesus come to do? He came to set the captives free. God hates tyranny. Did you know that? God hates oppression. God is upset with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked. He doesn't want children to be abused. That's not God's fault. God wants people, amen, His people, to stand for those who can't stand for themselves. And I thank God that some of you are doing this. I know that. You got discovered the other day. You were seen in one of the parking lots of one of the schools. God bless you. You're saying we're not going to allow them to teach our children this perverted stuff. Amen. Guys, if you don't want your kids wearing a mask, you know, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. But if you don't want your kids wearing a mask, you need to say something, right? You need to speak up. Amen. And don't judge those who do, but don't try to force or oppress people. All right. Even receiving something in their body that they may have convictions about, amen, are uncomfortable about. I think it's a matter of personal choice. Amen. And our body is the temple of the Lord, so we need to prayerfully consider what we allow or disallow in our bodies. All right? And it's a matter of conscience. I believe that. If I'm not comfortable about something, I don't have faith about something, and somebody's trying to get me to do something against my conscience, guess what? We're not going there. Amen? Yeah? God gives you freedom. He gives you freedom to choose. We have these rights. Amen. They're God-given rights. We don't need the government to tell us you have a right. God gave us a right to free speech. Now we should be responsible with our speech. Amen. But He gives us the ability to choose what we will say. And that cannot be taken away from us. We should never allow that to be taken away from us. But guys, if we don't confront evil, if we don't deal with it, amen? If we don't do what God is telling us to do when He's telling us to do it, if we're just going to sit around passively and hope it'll all go away, guess what? Evil was bent on destruction, amen? And now all of a sudden, you know, we were talking about it earlier. These things just didn't happen overnight. This has been in the works a long time. Now all of a sudden we're finding ourselves in a place where, oh my word, I could lose my job if I don't do what they say. With my own, like they own my body or something. I've said this before, but no man owns me. Amen? I'm no man's slave except one, Christ Jesus. And guys, we need to take a stand. Hallelujah. Our government officials should be prayed for. Amen. They should be supported. Amen. But they're there to represent the people of this nation. That's according to our Constitution. Our founding fathers knew what they were doing when they wrote that. Amen. For our protection against tyranny. And so we need to know what is right under the law, and we need to abide by those laws that are godly laws, amen, that are not in violation of the Word of God, and we stand for those. But anybody that takes themselves out from under the law of God has now violated the highest law. And so that's now a rogue law. It is to be resisted. Jesus said, I've given you authority, guys. Exousia, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, dunamis, of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That word for power is the same word that we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. So as we are empowered to do the work of the ministry, Satan also has dunamis too. He has a certain amount of power. And yeah, people need to be careful because he's been at this a long time. He's very subtle. He is clever. He knows how to take advantage of people. Jesus said he would preserve his followers from the dunamis of Satan and all his emissaries. He said he would even protect them from wicked men. How many believe the safest place for us to be is in the will of God? The safest place for us, guys, is to obey the Word of God. The enemy does have power to attack us, hinder us, frustrate us, make us fall, even. Defeat us, destroy us. Make no mistake about it. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need the full armor of God, who God makes available to us, amen, so we have everything that we need, amen, to do our mission, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, this world, sin-sick world. God wants us to be lights, amen, in the midst of this darkness. And God will be where He told us to be, and God will do what He said He would do if we will partner with Him and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to speak up. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to lay hands. Amen. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to cast out demons. I'm willing to step out for you. God will manifest Himself to those. He will reveal Himself to those who trust Him and step out for Him. There's a time to pray, but there's a time for action. We pray first, and then we step out, and we do the work of the ministry together. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, let me say this. It's good to be poor in spirit. It's good to be poor in spirit, but it is not good to be weak in spirit. There's a difference. The poor in spirit are those who realize that they need God in their life. I need God's grace. I need His provision. I need His protection. I need His comfort. I need His wisdom. I need everything. Amen. From the Lord, I'm relying upon Him because in myself, I realize I don't have what I need apart from Him to do what He's called me to do. The poor in spirit are blessed because they're relying upon the grace of God, and they receive the grace because they're humble. But to be weak in spirit is dangerous. To be spiritually weak is a dangerous place to be. People don't understand that. Christians don't understand that. They think everything is going well. Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to be in church? How many people today are no longer coming to church, no longer walking with the Lord, because the devil convinced them that they had in themselves what they needed to overcome? And some, it happened suddenly, and others, it was over a period of time. They just slipped away. And then, if they're a child of God, God will discipline. Amen. But when the Lord disciplines those guys, let's not blame Him. Amen. Thank Him that He loved you enough to discipline you, to get your attention, to bring you back. Amen. And we're praying, God, bring back the wayward sons and daughters. Amen. Bring them back, Lord, those prodigals. I was a prodigal. And God was gracious. God was merciful. It's good to be poor in spirit, but not good to be weak in spirit. Being weak is dangerous. The Lord Jesus wants you and I fully free, empowered by His Spirit, walking in His authority and destroying the work of the devil in our lives, our homes, our communities. And one of the lies of the devil is to convince believers that it's okay to stay bound. Just accept it. Nothing you can do about it. Oh, America's too far gone. Nothing you can do about it. As some say, just sit back, eat popcorn, and watch the show. Things will take care of themselves. Oh, yes, they will. The enemy would appreciate that very much if you just sit back and eat popcorn and watch the show and hope somebody else will take care of it. We don't want to be like the soldiers, amen, that were in the foxhole, if you will, back in the time of Goliath. We're hoping that somebody will come and deal with a giant. How many want to be a David? You want to be the one out there that's going to deal with a giant. Amen. Because David is a man of faith. He had confidence in his God, and God used him mightily. And God exalted David because David was humble. David understood where the power came from, where the grace came from, where his help came from. It wasn't of him. He wasn't confident in himself. See, the Lord has to break us, doesn't He? Life has a way of doing that. As a child of God, God has to break us. He has to get us to a place where we're no longer so self-confident, amen, that God can't use us. But God brings us to a place of humility in life to where we know that I need the Lord. And that is a good place to be because that's where the grace is. Amen. When you are a vessel that is yielded and willing to obey the Lord. Because you know that in of yourself you don't have it. You're poor in spirit. But the enemy wants to weaken God's people. He wants God's people to break off fellowship. He wants God's people to break off fellowship with the Lord, with prayer. Amen. So that He can weaken. And He's like that roaring lion we read about. Amen. That's looking for an opportunity. Just waiting for you. Now I lay me down to sleep. But the devil wants to convince you and I that we can't be free from our sin. And that it's just too big. It's too bad. It's too impossible. Because if he can discourage us in our minds, we'll give up the fight. Without a single shot, right? We won't oppose. We won't come against. In a spiritual sense I'm talking about here. I'm not talking literal shots, amen? But we need to oppose evil. We need to speak up against it, amen? We need to pray against it. We need to do our part and get out the vote or whatever, amen? So that we're being actively engaged in opposing the evil that's trying to push itself and force itself upon us, because the enemy wants to oppress and control, amen, basically own us, and our freedoms are at stake right now. We're fighting for our survival. We're in a war right now. So we can't be passive. We need to be people of His presence, people of prayer, people of faith that are willing to step out when God says to step out and do what I tell you to do. And let me just say this. Each one of us has a different calling, a different anointing. God's going to use us a little bit differently. All right? So my convictions are not necessarily going to be yours, and yours cannot be mine. Sometimes people want to project their convictions on me. All right? I'm responsible before the Lord for what I do, all right, or don't do. I don't answer to man for that. Sometimes God will speak through a person, amen, to me, to get my attention. But how we do this is very personal between you and the Lord. Your ministry is very unique to who you are and how God has designed you. And each one of us have our own place. And together, amen, we are effective if we're united, okay, in the Lord to do His will. It's always better when there are many than when there are few. Some people, they just want to have their little get-together. That's fine. If that's what God's called them to do, maybe God's called them to plant a church somewhere. But there's the two and three gathered, so they got the two or three gathered. But how many know that sometimes, you know, it requires numbers of people coming together, seeking the Lord together, pulling, drawing near together, amen, to be more effective. One, put 1,000 to flight. Two, what? 10,000. So if there's many of us gathered, we find strength and encouragement. I remember when I was in the Army and we would sing cadence. You know, as you're on a run, you would sing cadence, you know. And the cadence was designed to motivate you. As we our voices joined together and we sang these cadences. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. And it was like a motivator for us. And you know, when we come together, guys, we sing, we make music to the Lord. The music unites us together. It brings us together, first of all. Amen? It brings our hearts together. Amen? And all of a sudden we find that as we draw near to God and the presence of the Lord begins to fill us, that all the walls begin to come down. The walls begin to come down. The petty things don't matter anymore. You know, the little things that irritate us about each other, they don't irritate us anymore. As the old song says, we makes us love one another, right? If we hang out long enough together, we're going to discover that there are little idiosyncrasies and little things that we do that irritate each other in any relationship. Husbands, wives, you know what I'm talking about. Don't look so sanctified, right? But sometimes we irritate each other. But if we stay filled with the Spirit of God, hallelujah, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, it's like we're in harmony. We're in unity. And the little things don't matter. But if we allow ourselves to get weak spiritually, all of a sudden now we start to get into complaining, nitpicking. I don't like the way that sister looked at me today. Why, he didn't even shake my hand, right? Do you get it? Unity is a result of us being together and being strong in the Spirit, individually and corporately. If I'm not going to take care of myself spiritually, individually, then I'm not going to be effective, amen, in ministering and being an influence in the body, amen. That's why God wants every member to be healthy, to be strong, to be full of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be united, amen, in the harmony of the Spirit, and we will be effective. As we work together, as we run together, as we serve together in God's purposes. It's time for God's people to fight back. It's time for us to fight. Guys, We're in a war. We're in a spiritual war, and it's a war of survival. Not only as you and I, as believers, individual believers, but our nation needs the church right now to step up, to get back to God, to repent of our sins, amen, to repent of our worldliness. And the Lord said, if my people, you know this, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God, help us to turn from our wicked ways. Lord, send conviction upon your people. Send the fire, Lord, upon your people in America. Awake your people throughout this nation. Grant us the grace of repentance, Lord, that we will truly turn back to you and forsake our idols. Call upon you. Draw near to you. That you will hear, Lord, once again from heaven, that you would forgive our sins and that you would heal our land, Lord. That's our prayer. Help us, Jesus. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Failure, lack of faith, never glorify God. Failure can be a stepping stone to learn and grow, but it never glorifies God. We need to take action. We need to do what God is telling us to do. I know, Lord, I know what you want. I know what you expect, but not now. This has been going on for years. Not now. Let me live my life. Let me do my stuff. Let me do my things. And then one of these days, Lord, maybe on my deathbed. That's what people bank on often. Many people never see that. But in the delay, in the putting off, and the complacency, the enemy is hard at work. While we sleep, he's out sowing seed. And all of a sudden we wake up one day and say, what happened? How did we get here? Well, it grew up overnight, didn't it? All of a sudden you realize, look where we're at. It's not too late. We can turn to the only one who can help us now, the only one who can turn this around, the Almighty God, amen, who is able to turn a nation, who wants nations to be saved, nations to be discipled. America can be saved. I believe all things are possible with God if we, as his people, will quit talking about what we're going to do and start doing what we need to do. Saying what we should do and start doing what we should do. Amen. God will intervene. I need to be responsible as an individual. I'm asking you, as an individual, commit yourself to the Lord. Recommit your life. Amen. Position yourself to be a vessel for God to use. Pray, seek his face, and obey his voice. When he tells you to do something, do it. Amen? Because God will never tell you to do something that's not going to be effective. That's not going to make a difference. And if all of us will do what he's told us to do, we'll get the job done. Hallelujah. And we say, well, the Lord is delaying his return. No, he's not. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. You and I have been called to do that. You and I have been called to partner with Jesus, amen, and to be his witnesses. Faith in God means I believe his word. And if he tells me to do something in his name, he is going to do it through me. Not might, he is going to do it. If he gives me a promise, he is going to keep it. We're not helpless in the Lord. We have all the help we need with us and in us. We need to ask the question, in closing, are we going to just sit here and then continue to allow the devil to take our freedoms? Or are we going to rise up and do something about it? And it begins with me. It begins with you. We need to repent. And we need to encourage others, amen, to turn to the Lord He's our help. We need to pray for these politicians. I'm praying, Lord God, get a hold of them. Bring them to their knees. I pray the fear of God will come upon these leaders. God, I pray that you would wake them, shake them, bring them to their knees. That you would reveal yourself as God and that they are not. Lord, that you will move mightily in this nation again. God, that you will move upon your people. That you will wake up your church. Wake us up, Lord, inside. Bring us to full flame. Hallelujah. Give us holy passion, Lord God. Burn in us again, Lord God. Set our hearts aflame for you, Jesus. Lord, we want to do your will. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done, Holy Father. In America. In us, in our children, in our families, in our communities, God. Make us salty again, Lord. Make us light again, Lord God. Make us influencers again, Lord. As we know, Lord, it's not by might nor power, but it is by your Spirit that we'll be people of your presence. People of your Spirit, Lord, that we will be hungry and will be thirsty for you, the living God. For only you, Lord, can save. Only you can heal. Only you can deliver. And we know, God, you are mighty to save. And there is nothing you cannot do, O Lord. Our eyes are upon you. We're looking to you, Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let it be known in America once again that you are God. God, we pray, be exalted in America. Let your name be exalted, Lord Jesus, in America again. Wake up, Lord God, these politicians in Olympia. Lord, I pray the fear of God to come upon them. Lord, you'll bring them to repentance and faith that they will turn, Lord God. We know, Lord, you're not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Father, we ask you for your help. We ask you for your strength in our own lives and our own families. Father, that as parents, Lord, we will teach our children. Lord, we will teach them the truth, that we will be an example to one another, Lord. Help us. Hallelujah. The Lord will stand for those who stand with Him. The Lord will stand for those who stand with Him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory victory. His army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord. Indeed, Lord, be Lord over me. Be Lord over my family. Lord over my city. Lord over America. Hallelujah. You are Lord of the nations. So Lord, we call upon you and we say, let your glory come. Let your presence come, Lord. Establish your rule and your reign even in this city, Shelton, Washington, Lord God. We pray you'll arrest every wayward son and daughter, every backslider, Lord God. Arrest them, Holy Spirit. Bring them back to you, Lord God. Have mercy and forgive our sins. Heal, O Lord, and restore this nation, Lord. Give help. Give strength to your church, Lord God. To unite, Lord God, and to do what we need to do. To see America changed, transformed, because we know that you're able. And we're willing to go where you send us. Where you go, we go. And what you pray, we pray. Hallelujah. O God of gods, let it be unto us according to your word, Lord. Hallelujah.